Thank you. Thank you, Chicago team. And I'm supposed to share a little bit about my experience there as well and then give a message. But I don't think we'll have time for that. One thing, though, guys, I want to say about the testimonies. One thing, we went last year, right? And then I called Jonathan DeLeo. He's a pastor at Chicago. And I asked him, like, so what do you think about our experience there? Grade us. Give us a grade. And he's like, okay, I'll give you guys a solid B. And then I told the team that, and they were like, they're surprised that they got a B last year. It's not like we're going for a grade, right? Like we're trying to, this year I'm like, guys, let's move it up to a B plus. But one thing I felt in my heart, without asking the pastor there was, I felt our mission trip last year, and then also our testimonies were a little bit more human-centered, self-centered. And I remember last year we went up and we shared our testimonies, and it felt like we were just talking about ourselves. I'm like, yeah, I grew up in the mean streets of Irvine, or I grew up in whatever, right? None of us are from Irvine, guys, by the way. And it wasn't really gospel-centered. And then right now, you probably hear us, and you're like, all right, you probably don't, I don't know if you guys feel the spirit, but one thing I know about this group, and you guys should learn about missions. I heard from David Platt saying that you can never muster up the spirit for missions on your own. You have to look to others. Right now, when you hear them speaking, I hope you're filling in the gaps and looking for the spirit for missions. When we read the Bible, we look at other people's stories. We look at Jesus to inspire us for missions. We look to the apostles to inspire us for missions. You just can't sit there and muster up the spirit. You may, for a little while, you'd be like, yeah, I'm going to go talk to my neighbor, and then you fail. And that's why we're doing up here, right? It's a community of faith that shares our stories. These stories won't fade away. Your spirit, you try to muster up your own strength, and that will not carry you. I'm proud of this group, guys. And first, I want to say one thing about this group. I first want to talk about their transformation. Then a few of the things that we did, right? Because I feel like if we start boasting, sadly, when we start boasting about what we did in missions trip, some of us are proud and we don't want to, you know, learn from that. We're boasting about the glory of God. Come on, let's enjoy that. We were the first, so we started in missionary housing, Chicago Baptist Association, and you know, in the city of Chicago, we weren't in the suburbs, we're in the heart of it. We're next to Humboldt Park, which I heard is equivalent of MacArthur Park. A dangerous park out there, and we were the first Hispanic group to go out there, the first group, Hispanic group. This missionary housing has been there for years, and for the first time, they had a young Hispanic group go out there that could connect, like Mario said, a blessing, that he could speak Spanish and connect with the group. One thing, before I left, I know Pastor Dennis told me that people are hesitant about small group missionary trips. Because usually when you go on a small group missionary trip, what do? You probably paint the walls. You go on a mission trip, like, yeah, we're going to go paint the walls in El Salvador, right? And Pastor Dennis told me a story about how there was a church, and I don't know how the story went exactly, but Pastor Dennis told me that the church walls have been painted 5 times that summer by youth groups. And so youth groups go down, the young adults go down, they're like, what can we do? Yeah, let's paint. And then that's great. I think that we get an experience, right, to paint walls. But we didn't paint any walls this year. That's kind of embarrassing. Pastor Dennis told me that the town, the community, it was a running joke that the church kept on changing colors throughout the year, right? It was like Christmas year round. And this group, guys, one thing I felt about leaving Chicago this time, and I got to be honest, this is how I know it felt, I don't know, it was good, guys. Last year was good, too. But this year, at Chicago and leaving Chicago, I love the church. God does missions because out of love. And that's how I felt when I was there. I felt loving the group, loving others. And coming here, I still have love for this church, this community. And to pour out. I'm embarrassed that, you know, For our church, we really want this season to be about outreach. We've been preparing for it. I'm embarrassed that, to be honest, back when we were an old church, I didn't want to invite people to our church because our building was falling apart. No lie. I did not want to do missions. I did not want to invite people like, hey, come here, come to our church. The AC was horrible during the summer. It would be 90 degrees in our room. The curtains were falling down. And then they had to come and hear me speak. And I was embarrassed. I'm like, I didn't want to invite my friends like to hear me speak because I know I'm not John Piper. I'm not Timothy Keller. Our worship team, we're not great. My message was going to be about how to rip you and show your hearts and how we don't want to do missions. But a few things that I wrote here about the heart of our church is that one thing I know that we have the heart for is that we have the sacrificial love. We have the sacrificial love. People want hope and transformation without sacrificial love. The gospel is Christ died, sacrificed himself out of love. So then transformation comes afterwards. I come to this church and I realize, you know, Calvary Baptist, I notice that there's families missing. I know that some of you, your children are not here in this church, and that breaks me. I look at our church and we do not have guidance. I look at our young adult group and we're like, we don't have older people to give us wisdom. We are broken. If people look at that group, I know people look at that group and be like, they shouldn't be on the mission trip. So-and-so has done this, so-and-so has sinned, so-and-so has done that. Why is George there? George is back there now. George is sitting in the back. But that brings me so much comfort, guys, so much power knowing the grace of God sent this group. Because I get discouraged. Right here I brought little mission statement I created when I was a senior year in high school. My mom was cleaning the garage this summer, and she brought out my senior project. Or is that, I didn't find the title. Senior project, my senior year. I get anxiety looking at this. Let me read you on my mission statement. There's so much in here that it's beautiful. I was 17 years old when I wrote this. I was like, a little poet. All right. It says here, mission statement. It's so cheesy. And it's not even, I don't know, the English is horrible like my English. All right. It says, life has many trials. Wow, that was deep, Daniel. I was 17 and wrote this. That was heavy, huh? Life has many trials, and I have been able to overcome them through my relationship with God. I'm like, I said that when I was 17? I said when I was 17, guys? I was on the flight to Chicago, you know, a few weeks ago, and I was nervous to say God in church. I'm a pastor here in the church, right? And I had fear to talk about God. I kind of want to fluff it up. I wanted to be kind of cool and be like, yeah, Jesus. Throw in Jesus, right? And I look at this, and it was so explicit and bold. Gospel, no water down. It says, because of God, I'm able to overcome secular venues. What the heck? I have reached a state of humility, and I want to show my passion. I want to show others my passion for God, who strengthens me. Ever since I found my purpose in life to abide in God, everything has changed. I want to show my love, faith with the whole world, even though persecution may follow. Persecution? What persecution? I was in high school. I want to be humbled. I want to be a Christ-centered person. 17 years old, and this bold faith. I'm embarrassed. I turned 28 a few months ago. And this summer, when mom gave me this, I kind of cried. Because it's great that I'm a pastor here now. It's cool. But when I was 17, 18, when I went to Viola, I had this ideal of discipleship, of evangelism, of missions and revival. And the past few years, I've made God so small in my life. I've made God so small. Like, revival is impossible. Like, discipleship is impossible. Like, I lost my passion. I lost my edge, personality, the age, everything. I came up here last time and I told the church that I'm a doubter. And I say that because it's a space for me to grow my faith. One of the areas where I have doubt still is missions, to be honest. I see that the world needs God, and I don't see the church mobilized to serve church. To be honest, guys, that crushes me. That hurts me. And I start to doubt God. I'm like, God, why do you allow suffering evil in this world? And I told you guys, I'm challenged by that. Missions, this experience, it truly, guys, is so corny and cliche, and I hate these statements, but God is truly the one who saves everyone, who has everything in control, and God's sovereignty, he calls people, he moves people. And that what makes this group full of sinners possible to reach out for the gospel. This what enables me. I look at everyone and we are dead to sin. We are sinners. I look at the group, I'm like, we cannot preach. We don't have the skills. We don't have the money. We don't have enough hipsters on our team to mobilize the church. My discouragement of seeing not enough missionaries and evangelism and discipleship has given me more room to see that God has everything in control. And that's how it has to be. I know while I am still not praying, while I'm still not worshiping, that God is pursuing so hard. He cares more. He has more passion to reach out for us. And that's God's sovereignty. That is God's love. And that's a power, that's a faith that I still have, and it's beautiful, guys. It gives me peace. I talked to Jonathan over in Chicago that gives me peace and empowerment to know that God is still saving. That we come up here and we share testimonies, and you guys are like, oh, that was cute. And I wasn't hoping for cute, right? But do I know that? I still know that my faith in God's sovereignty is what's gonna truly resurrect and redeem and restore. So now it's our time for this church, right, to our goal, our church has been to outreach. It's our time now. It's the past few years, we spent time discipling, we spent time sinning, we spent time repenting, we spent time distracted. And now we have a church here, guys. I was embarrassed to bring people now. Like, now I can't be that embarrassed. It'll be a little bit because I'm still speaking. But look at this location. We were praying for somewhere. We told our pastor that we didn't want a church in Orange County. We wanted a church in Whittier. We wanted someone with our families. What's great about this church, when we were outreaching out there in Chicago, one of our concerns was we're reaching out to the Spanish ministry. And Mario was talking a lot of Spanish. I was speaking Spanish too. We were reaching out. But we were leading them to a church. Jonathan's church in Chicago is not a Spanish-speaking church. It's not a family church. And we're reaching out to a lot of families and Spanish speakers. And we're leading them to a church where they didn't have the blessings to support a congregation like that. This church has it. We are a diverse church. When we go outreach in this community, we talk to Spanish speakers, we have the Spanish ministry right there. We have young adults here. We have different ethnicities, we have different cultures, right? I'm excited now to do outreach. Sadly, guys, it isn't this power of embarrassment. But let me just say this one thing. For missions, I believe that you needed courage to outreach and to do missions. Like, I feel empowered, right, to talk to your neighbor. But the opposite of courage is not fear. That is not biblical. The opposite of courage is not fear. Like, some of you guys have fear not to do missions. Bible says perfect love casts out all fear. Perfect love casts out all fear. Perfect love casts out all fear. One thing I'm afraid of this church, and I'm glad about this group, is that that people are ready to serve. But I want to be careful with that. I want to be careful with people like feeling that they have to serve. I think we have replaced serving God by knowing God. We shouldn't confuse serving God with knowing God. First, we should put knowing God before serving God. A lot of us, now with this new opportunity, guys, I know a lot of you guys are excited. We're at a new church, a new congregation, integrating. Like, yeah, how can I serve? First, come to know God. Serving is great. Serving is a fruit that God is still working in you, right? And when you feel like, I don't know if I still have the passion to serve and to outreach, you're still here. You still want to be part of a church to mobilize. That is your service. That is a mystery of God calling you here and you making a step of service, of sacrifice. I told the group the way I was going to end this, whatever this is, right? Awkwardly, because that's our style. Our style is awkward, and I love that. How we end our services before in our older church was an opportunity for people to make comments, an opportunity for people to ask questions about this, opportunity for people to say that, you know, I don't actually have the Spirit. I want that. Or something. And so now what I do usually, pull up a chair, sit here awkwardly. But church, anybody have a comment? Some will say amen, and that's also powerful, right? Anybody have any comments or questions? Anybody want prayer? And one thing we have to do, we have to pray for Wendy. Thank you for being vulnerable, Wendy. You don't know Wendy's story. She was not going to go on the mission trip. I got to be honest. Sometimes I don't believe in the devil, but he does exist. It was making it impossible for Wendy to go on the trip. Discouraged, throwing things left and right. Any comments or questions or prayers, group? If there's one comment, fine. That's fine. We'll step down and we'll have worship. But any comments, questions, or prayers? Yeah, go ahead. Thank you. That truly means a lot to us, because this could be just sin. We were afraid coming to the church, you would look down on us. Because, yeah, we are Hispanic, you know. We are younger, we could be arrogant. But what Paul says, that even if you preach out of conceit, the gospel still preached, and that's grace. Thank you for sharing that. I think that's We feel that. We feel that. We've been reflecting on that, and we're surprised how warm and welcoming, and we please feed into our lives. Please speak and do ministry with us, right? So. Any other comments, questions, or prayers? Did you guys hear him? I hope you heard him and don't forget what he said, okay? Any other comments, prayers? Those two comments, I pray, you know, that the Holy Spirit makes it land on good soil, right, for us to be empowered. Any other words? If not, we'll break off, you know, into worship, and we'll continue to enjoy God and do missions. Any other words? Anybody from the Outsiders or anything? We left. Go ahead. Thank you, Inoue, for sharing that. There's some vulnerability in what you shared right now, and I want to say that we have felt and still feel that way, and I think that's what has banded us together, and so you fit perfectly with us. So I know we're running out of time. Nobody is giving me the signal, but let's close in worship. I know we don't want to leave time for that, but we should close in some worship. So if the band could come up. So if you could all please stand for worship.